Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips of the PC. It is Sunday, the 7th of December, Anno Domini 2008, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And on this Pearl Harbor
day
yeah. We will be bringing you all the news and stuff and things and business and stuff. What is it, 67 years?
I haven't done the math, but I always wonder, you know, it's not appropriate to say Happy Pearl Harbor Day, but you want to remember
right.
it.
Right, you want to remember. It's a day of remembrance, not a day of joy.
Right.
We salute the comrades that fell.
God
that
bless each
day.
And every one of them. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we remember. But let's not mention the movie.
Oh, let's not mention the movie. Jeez and crackers. What a pile of trash that was.
There have been a number of them.
The one with Ben Affleck and them all
there was oh, an, I was fortunate enough to miss it.
There was an interesting series on the History Channel about myths of Pearl Harbor. Did you know that we fired the first shot in World War II?
No.
There was a Japanese mini submarine patrolling inside Pearl Harbor, and an American ship sunk it before the Air Force attacked, before the actual December 7th attack.
Well, it was hardly the first shot in World War II.
Well, yeah,
certainly
it was our first shot. Right, so we attacked Japan first.
Well,
they were on the way, but they hadn't attacked yet.
On the other hand, entering Pearl Harbor with a submarine was certainly an act of war.
An act of war, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. All right, let's start with this week's poll, which, of course, I can't bring up since there seems to be a small problem with the server. I've already emailed or text messaged Gabe, and we'll see what happens.
So you're saying we have no internet service to the studio right now?
No, we have plenty of internet service to the studio. We don't have sound bites. The sound bite server is not up.
Gotcha.
Which means also ask Nick and a couple of dozen others.
Now, shouldn't the server email you when it goes down?
No, it should email Gabe.
And it was up a little while ago because I went in to check the poll and everything
else.
That's
why Gabe gets
I suspect
the big
Gabe
bucks.
Is actually. Yeah. So we may actually hear. I never have my phone on during the show, but I have to now to see what's going on. So I may get a text message at some point. Anyway, this week's poll is about social networking. Facebook's 120 million users are being targeted by a virus dubbed Koob Face, K-O-O-B, Face, that uses the social network's messaging system to infect PCs, then tries to gather sensitive information such as credit card numbers. It is the latest attack by hackers increasingly looking to prey on users of social networking sites. A few other viruses have tried to use Facebook in similar ways to propagate themselves, according to Facebook spokes individual Barry Schnitt. He said, a very small percentage of users have been affected by these viruses. It is on the rise relative to other threats like emails, said Craig Schmugar, a researcher with McAfee. Koobface spreads by sending notes to friends of someone whose PC has been infected. The messages with subject headers like, you look just awesome in this new movie, direct users to a website where they are asked to download what it claims is an update of Adobe Systems Flash Player. If they download the software, of course, they end up with an infected computer, which then takes users to contaminated sites when they try to use search engines from Google, Yahoo, MSN, and Live.com. McAfee warned in a blog entry on Wednesday that its researchers had discovered that Koobface was indeed making the rounds on Facebook. Facebook requires senders of messages within the network to be members and hides user data from people who do not have accounts, said Chris Boyd, a researcher with FaceTime Security Labs. Because of that, users tend to be far less suspicious of messages they receive in the network. People tend to let their guard down. They think you've got to log in with an account, so there's no way that worms and other viruses could infect them, Boyd said. Social network MySpace was hit by a version of Koobface in August and used security technology to eradicate it, according to company spokes individual. The virus has not cropped up since then, she said. Privately held Facebook has told members to delete contaminated emails and has posted directions at www.facebook.com/security on how to clean infected computers. That's www.facebook.com/security. And that is also our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you, theoretically, by the time you hear this, it'll be back up and running.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to go there and vote in the poll. The choices are the usual suspects, all the social networking spaces, FaceSpace, MyBook, all of the stuff you kids do nowadays. Second Life.
And even on Twitter?
Twitter is on there. I Hate People is one of the choices. And
now, how's
Neighborhood Bar or
you?
Coffee Shop is another one.
Let me help.
So,
how's that Twitter going, though?
It's actually going pretty well. People, I've got
Twitter's fun.
A bunch of people following me, and I'm following a bunch of people, and there's actually every once in a while something actually interesting on there.
But it's so low overhead. You can just have it running in a corner.
That's right.
And just take a look at it when something new comes up. It's very unintrusive.
Right.
And fun.
Right.
It's not like you have to go to a site to watch it.
And the important part is it's really useful for people who are looking to drive traffic somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, to monetize their web, as Emily Carpenter would say.
Look at this cool thing I just saw.
Right. Or you know,
website.
I just posted a new blog entry about X. You know, that sort of fair. So
and
that's
if you
really
don't want to hear it, you don't follow that person.
That's no, exactly.
I created a Twitter account so I could follow Nick, and I don't know what to post there. And I have people I don't know following me, and I haven't posted anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. Yeah. People I'd never heard of following me.
How did they find me? You know? They must have followed you and looked
at who
was
following you.
And
why did they decide to follow? Probably because I can follow this guy, but he doesn't ever say anything, so he's not a pain in my neck.
Yeah.
Right. But I can say I'm following people on Twitter.
Well, and they were talking, especially during the election, that Obama was a real big force on Twitter during the election, and he's got 100,000 people following him.
Yeah,
and they were talking about, you know, some of the higher end people like that. Some of the tech people have 50,000 people following them. Just the, I guess, responsibility of whatever you say, 100,000 people are going to get this message and probably read it.
Well,
so
when you're president
careful.
Of the United States, you're pretty well used to that anyway.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, it's an amazing thing. At any rate, that's our poll at soundbites.org. And when you're done with the poll, underneath it, you'll see a little yellow box. And if you click on leave an opinion, see, I can't even do it without looking at it.
Yeah, right.
Cheese and crackers. It'll take you to my website at asknick.com.
Click on that yellow thing.
That's asknick.com.
Thank you. And... And you can not only leave, and you can leave an opinion, because I know that you're not all that interested in just clicking a button. You've all got something to say, usually derogatory or at best disparaging, but at least you're willing to say something. And then, of course, while you're there, please check out AskNick.com. I put out a bunch of newsletters or emails or whatever you want to call them. I can't come up with a really good word for them yet. And, of course, you can ask questions in the poll, and for a mere $15 a year, you can search all the previous questions and answers, which alone, and there's thousands of them, so questions and answers and rants and raves and tips and tricks and website of the week and all that stuff. So there's a bunch of stuff there to search, and I think it's well worth $15. I think it's well worth $15
a
month.
But I have to agree.
At least a year. Thank you. At least a year, you know.
I've been listening to some of Stephen Fry's Podgrams. Which is a neat word.
Yeah.
And he talks about his blessays.
Oh, nice.
Blogging essays.
Nice. Nice. Maybe I don't know what I don't know.
He had
what
a good rant on the kids these days and how stupid the BBC is. And
all right.
I'm trying to remember the new word I heard last night. Cyber, what do they call that? Oh, cyberchondria.
Cyberchondria.
Cyberchondria is what you get or what you have when you recognize a small symptom, go on the net and look up the symptom. They give you the worst case scenario, and you convince yourself you have that.
Right. I have the night sweats. Well, you've got malaria or one too many blankets. It's one or the other, really. Those are your two choices.
It's got to be malaria.
It's got to be the malaria. No question.
Well, I talk about medical students. During medical school, are always, that's a common thing. They're always convinced that they have whatever disease they're studying in the...
Yeah, right,
was
right.
Was that my change, Dave?
No. No, your son...
Oh, it was the pop top.
Yes, your son always remembers...
What you boys are missing...
I gave my son a dollar to get...
Steve's son is here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I gave my son a dollar to get something out of the vending machine, and he walks in and hands something to Dave. Was that my change?
No. And you honestly thought you were going to get your change
back
in one...
Wait a minute.
No, he's not ever giving up that change.
No, wait a minute. See, how old is your son?
He's 10 now.
And when's the last time you ever saw money come back?
Yep.
When you give kids money, consider it gone.
Yep.
I mean, where's the change? What change?
Well, that and wives.
Well, yeah.
Asnick is back up.
Thanks, Gabe.
But Soundbites is not yet. Well, it'll get there.
Well, getting back to the original story and segueing from cyberchondriasm.
Right.
The story you gave about, I want to make sure this is real virus now, a real old-fashioned virus?
Yes.
That's propagating on Facebook?
Yes. Social engineered virus, as most of them are these days. And basically what it does
it's
is...
It's a Trojan horse with a virus payload.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But people don't care about the...
Yeah. The semantics.
And they don't do much of anything anymore.
Well, this one is trying to steal passwords and usernames. What it does is once you're caught, when you go to any one of a dozen sites that you log into, it takes you to a fake page.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. That's the difference between a virus and a Trojan, in my aspect. Viruses, as I always interpret them, are things that just screw up your machine.
You know, that's usually because
they're bad programmers.
Yeah, right. Exactly. The old-fashioned viruses just usually cause mischief. You know, they would sit there down a bunch of machines like that one that did the last great one was the one that took down the CNN systems and everything else. All they do is create havoc. The Trojans, which these are, the Trojans and the spam and the spyware, this is trying to steal information. It's a whole different category. It's a different grade. It's a little... higher, and I don't want to give them a compliment, but it's a level above virus writers.
It's a chance to teach people some history, too. Why are they called Trojan horses?
Right. Exactly. But, you know, it's a different
virus
class
really
of people.
Is supposed to, it actually designates the transport mechanism as opposed to what it does. And the same with a Trojan horse. And you're like, this is more
Trojan. So a Trojan,
but people don't care about the title.
It claims to be a flash update, and it's not. That makes it a Trojan.
Right.
It installs software that replicates itself, which makes it a virus.
Right.
So it's a Trojan that carries a virus payload.
Right.
Well, what I'm trying to understand is, does this target a particular platform?
Yeah, they are. Well,
no, Facebook and MySpace so far.
The Trojans... Yeah.
I mean, a Windows versus Linux.
No discrimination.
Right. The Trojan attacks Facebook and MySpace, which is any platform. The payload is Windows only, isn't it?
Well, I think
the actual virus that installs.
Yes, that part of it. Yes, I believe is because it does install something that takes over your unless it's written in Zool or whatever for.
But there are similar.
You know when you download Zool. Zool is the XML. I forget what it stands for, but it's basically the language behind Firefox.
Zool is the gatekeeper.
What's interesting is the bits and pieces of Zool, which are kept on Mozilla's server. You go to mozilla.com/thereisnodana/Zool.
But back to the topic.
You had to have
seen
the movie, apparently.
Apparently, you had to.
Ghostbusters. Similar Trojans that do affect the Macintosh. They claim to be a QuickTime. I'm thinking, oh, thank God, it's an Adobe update. They claim to be a QuickTime update,
right?
And install a Macintosh-based code, which is a DNS changer, to take you to fake phishing sites. Well, fake sites that are real phishing sites. Mm-hmm. So similar things do exist in the wild for the Mac that claim to be a legitimate update, and they download bad things. You have to give them your password. You have to install it. But since it's a Trojan claiming to be a QuickTime update, you're probably going to.
Okay, which leads us into a good segue here. An email from Steve from Holly writes, my McAfee virus scan found this virus and can't clean it, quarantine, or delete the file. The error message states that to verify the file is not write protected, I found the file in Windows/System32 folder. The file is write protected. How do I remove this write protected to get rid of the file? And it's a download X. It's a digeste.dll. And basically, I would first suggest to him, one, go in safe mode. Because a lot of these programs, you know, won't load in safe mode because Windows is literally just putting out their bare minimum.
And the problem is a lot of the anti-programs, anti-spyware, antivirus, won't run either in safe mode.
Malware bytes.
I'm
liking more and more malware bytes. Yes, you can. Now, here's the other thing, and I should tell this to folks because they might be a little worried. When you know you go to run malware bytes, you're first inclined to want to go out and update it. Well, because of some of the Trojans out there, it won't let you. don't worry. Go ahead and run Malwarebytes the first time after installing it. And do a, you know, full scan. Don't do the quick scan. Do the full scan. Let it reboot. And then try to go and get the updates. It will go out and get the updates. There is a couple of the malware programs out there, or Trojans, that try to block the Malwarebytes from updating. But by running it once, it gets rid of those. It can handle those in the current version that's out there. But then you can reboot, get your updates, and run it. And I found one this past week that had over 500 Trojans on it. And I mean, it's like, whoa. I mean, back in the day with the adware and the spy bot, I mean, remember we were going for numbers?
Yeah.
We'd post who had the most.
Yeah, I had 40,000 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, now with the newer programs out there, they're catching a lot more of it and it's getting filtered out. So, I mean, once we see, you know, over 100, that's starting to be a lot now.
Yeah.
Because the programs are doing a lot better job. A lot of folks sit there and criticize, oh, I keep getting all this crap, you know, and just keeps infesting my machine. Well,
they usually say the program doesn't work because the spyware is back. No, you got reinfected.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that you use the word back tells me the spyware, the anti-spyware stuff
worked. It's still there.
Worked.
It didn't clean it. It's still there. No, it's back.
Oh, I had it. I know you run into this too, Steve. Folks sit there and bring in a machine. Now, they've had it for 3 weeks. And I love this. They go, well, I didn't use it much.
Yeah.
Their kids did.
Right.
The kids were on it for a little bit. And it's reinfected. Shouldn't this be covered? And I've said this before. Folks, the minute, I don't care what repair shop you go to, the minute you take it out of the shop, go back, hook it up to your internet, a minute after it's hooked up and you go surfing, all bets are off. Because if you're not doing the due diligence and staying away from these sites, like, oh, going back and putting LimeWire back on after I took it off, and the kids are putting and going and getting these other programs, oh, that song didn't download again. I tried it a couple of times, still won't work. You're reinfected again. Thank you very much. So don't come back to me and say, oh, this should be covered. No, it's not.
We don't cover human stupidity.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it's getting into the holiday season.
I was
going to
say that leaks into a later news story, but we're past that. Most people don't bother updating security updates.
Right, right.
And the out of cycle patch that was so onerous and critical, people haven't bothered.
Yeah, and that's what they're finding out is that a company called Qualys scanned between 200,000 and 300,000 Windows PCs and found that out of cycle update that Microsoft sent out, most of them really haven't patched yet. Now, I understand that people are slow to update big things like Service Pack, whatever, right? Because they want to hear the problems other people have before they do that. I get that. But when Microsoft does an out-of-cycle update, it's got to be super important to them because they love sticking to their little schedule. So if they put an out of cycle one out there that's out of the schedule, then they clearly mean it's important and you should update. And if you don't, you deserve what you get.
Take the scheduling as a clue.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, they...
I would say most people don't even notice that there are updates waiting to install button, balloon that pops up in their screen.
Well, I noticed in that article, first of all, you said this company Qualys scanned 100 or 200,000 computers.
300,000.
We should qualify that. That's Qualys' customers they scanned.
Right.
Not yours and my computer.
Right, 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 right.
But if those customers must have been, or probably were, corporate customers.
Likely.
So it's likely to be on the IT department to make sure
that
those computers are updated.
Right, and that not makes it worse. If it's IT people who aren't bright enough to figure out an out-of-cycle patch is important, then really they need to find some new IT people.
And that's the whole argument back and forth about Apple releases patches when they're ready, Microsoft releases patches once a month.
Right.
Because the IT people want to schedule their patches and know we're going to take the machines down today to install these updates. But when it's out of cycle, they should sort of prioritize that.
Yeah, you would think. Yeah. Well, and of course, that's the other thing. It's so rare to get an update that doesn't require at least one reboot.
Yeah.
Oh, like semantics. I keep telling folks that they persist on still using that product quite often. It's well known with semantics. You got to keep checking the updates until it says no further updates available.
Right.
And it keeps, you know, downloading a few and wanting to reboot. Download a few more, reboot. Poor engineering on their part, but anyways, that's the way it is.
Yep.
And it can catch you sometimes because folks do it once and they think they got it all, and they didn't.
No.
I had a computer last week that where the, I forget what it was, semantic mafia, it doesn't really matter. It had expired 4 years ago when he bought the computer with his 90-day free trial.
Right.
And, oh, I thought I had that on there. This message pops up all the time. Yeah, if you read the message, it would say you expired and you want to renew.
Oh, I had another.
People don't read the messages. Yep. And I think before you go on, I think we really need to make sure that people understand and listen to what we're about to say. A lot of you are going to buy new computers for the holidays. And when that new computer is under the Christmas tree, it's all beautiful and charming and lovely. But at some point, you're going to hook it up to the network and turn it on. And I'll guarantee you there's just a bucket load of junk that's been loaded on with that machine, including a lot of software you think, great, I got to free this, I got to free that. Most of those are trials. Most of those are 30 to 90 day trials. That includes the antivirus. That antivirus will expire within 3 months. So by, say, the end of February, the beginning of March, you no longer have any support or service or protection from viruses. So pay attention to what you're seeing. Then you have a choice of either paying for that or getting a free one like Avast or AVG. But at least pay attention to what's going on so you know when you stop being protected.
And the biggest one that's going out right now that I got nailed again this past week was somebody insisting that I broke their machine because they went to run Word because they brought it back in. And Word wasn't working right. Said, you know, you got to register it.
Yeah.
I went back in, and sure enough, they were using the 60-day trial.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you read,
and the 60 days was up. Hello.
And if you read the message closer, it says your trial has expired. You need to purchase this.
Well, that's what I was trying to point out to them. They kept. Oh no! It came with the machine. It was there. We installed. There's the icon. There's the icon. See, it says 60-day trial because quite often, you know, if the
descriptions are too long. That on purpose. It's too long, so it hides it.
It hides most of it. Well, when I highlighted it again. Well, you sure that's the right version? Maybe there was another version, because I was using it. I mean, this person just didn't want to hear.
And every time you launch it, it says, this is a trial. Every time you quit, it says, this is a trial.
And they did not want to accept that.
Was it you, the customer said, well, you had it for 3 days, so I want you to give me 3 days back?
Yeah.
You took 3 days of my 60?
Yeah.
Too bad, so sad. Go
I'll
pay
give
for
you forever. Here's open office.
Yeah
right.
Yeah. No, they just don't want to hear it. Because, you know, these salespeople, they'll say anything to get a sale.
It's on the feature list. You get a trial of Microsoft Office. Well, that's a $400 program.
Yeah.
People don't want to buy it. Okay, now you buy the home version for $150, but that's still $150.
But why, when you can get Open Office for free?
Yeah.
Exactly. And it does a lot more. It's half the cost
of the computer in the first place.
And you can get a lot more of it because, I mean, if you get the full package of Office.
Yeah, including the media special edition and all the super whiz bangs.
It's like $700-$800.
Yeah, and you can get all those features free in OpenOffice.
The standard version is $400.
Right.
But aren't we really preaching to the choir here? Because Soundbites listeners know better, right?
I certainly hope they do by this point.
Well, even some of our new listeners. You know, I mean, we're getting more and more folks even from Second Life that are coming to us and, you know... Matter of fact, a few folks missed you Friday night there, Steve.
I had to drive to Batavia and back.
Ooh. At least it isn't today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crippled. Well, fortunately, I took my wife to visit a friend, and now the friend is bringing her home today, so I'm safe today, but she's not. So I'm thinking maybe I should go get her.
Yeah, probably.
It's starting to slow down. I don't think it's supposed to be that bad today.
All right. Speaking of all these security updates and patches, and it is Microsoft's monthly visitor will be with us this Tuesday. Microsoft will deliver 8 security updates this week, 6 of them marked critical to plug holes in Windows, Internet Explorer, Office, and other products. 2 of the 8 updates will patch Windows, and another 2 are aimed at Office, while the remaining 4 target Internet Explorer, SharePoint, Windows Media Player, and Visual Basic and Visual Studio. One of the 2 updates slated for Windows may be a fix, finally, for an 8-month-old vulnerability. that Microsoft first acknowledged in April and which has been exploited by hackers since mid-October. The bulletin Microsoft marked Windows 1 looks to be that like that issue that's in the advisory. Some guy named Andrew Storms, who's the director of security operations at some security company. Cesar Cerudo, a researcher and securities consultant, said he would disclose a Windows flaw in an upcoming conference, which is later this month. And Microsoft had been downplaying the issue, and now they say, well, yeah, actually they're doing it, and so we'll put out a fix. And this may indeed be the fix, finally, from April. So we'll see. But there's another one dubbed Windows 2 that looks like it's patching newer versions of the operating system, Vista and Server 2008, but nothing for Windows 2000 XP or Server 2003. So those of you who are using Vista, well, everybody should do the update, but those of you who are using XP should be aware that as time goes on, you get less and less protected. Microsoft is simply not going to make software fixes for you. They just don't care about XP anymore. They're trying to kill it, and it just won't die, but they keep driving a stake through its heart, hoping that eventually it will notice. So look, it almost sort of came up, almost sort of.
Sound bites?
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff out there for that XP people have to be much more wary of, because nobody is protecting you anymore. Those updates that are actual vulnerabilities in the operating system are not ever going to be patched. And antivirus and anti-spyware and firewall, they're not going to protect you, because they are assuming that you're running the latest operating system that is already protected against those things.
And to be fair,
it's not their job.
It's a closed system,
right,
that Windows is, so no one else can protect them.
Right.
Not Dave, not Steve. Not any of the third-party software providers. So, and if Microsoft isn't going to do it, you got to move on.
Yep, that's exactly right. Do we have another?
Yeah, we got another one. Matter of fact, this is a follow-up.
Oh.
This is one Bill from Rochester. Evidently, a while ago, it's been a number of weeks, we evidently answered his question. He wrote us back to give us a little heads up.
Oh.
Bill wrote, problem, hi. I am Bill that wrote you guys about updating the Ultima, that's Vista, from Home Premier to get the ability to run XP in Vista. Just to follow up on the answers to the questions. One, I did speak to HP support many, and he's got that in capital letter, times. I think they eventually got to speak to all of them as they had no more to speak
in
to.
In each of their native tongues.
They all they did was to tell me how I needed to buy more years of support from them. Two, they are the ones that to suggest that I buy Ultima and run XP in it. I agree with Nick that the PC has hardware issues. I dual booted Ubuntu and Vista and then run Ubuntu only. All the same end results, problems that lead to crashes. XP most likely would run into the same problems. However, the Vista has been updated. Vista has been updated. I've had updates to the BIOS and some new drivers for the HP. The PC runs okay with Vista, so I have to leave it alone for right now and continues to work for me. Thank you for your suggestions, and again, you guys do a great job. Thank you, Bill.
Well, that was very nice of him. We find that this is often the hardest kind of problem to fix when there are multiple problems with the machine. When you've got a hardware problem and a software problem and whatever. How do you know which to fix? You fix something and it's sort of, kind of, but there's still more.
And since we're not sitting in front of it either, because folks don't always tell you the whole sequence of events.
And in these tougher economic times, people are waiting till there's multiple problems before they get the computer fixed.
Right.
Yeah.
I can live with it not printing, but as soon as I can't get on the internet, okay.
And a lot of times there are significant pieces of information they leave out because they don't know that it's significant.
Right.
And then there's the people that give you the entire life history when all they need to say is, it won't
it's
boot.
Broke.
Yeah, they tell you from the day they brought it home.
Yeah.
Well, I'd rather have too much information than not enough. But even so, we get... I remember years ago back when I did what you guys do, and God bless you, I don't have the strength anymore. this guy was describing a problem. Finally, I went to his house, turned on his machine, looked at the screen, and said, in all the descriptions you've given me over the phone, did you think to give me this error message? No. Was it important?
Soundbites is
picked
up.
Yeah, actually gives you the answer.
We get questions like that all the time. What's the exact wording? Your startup disk is almost full. You should delete some files and make room. What should I do?
You're right.
Delete some files and make room.
Right. I think you need more RAM. Why? Because it says my hard disk is full. No.
Oh, folks always get hard disk space confused with memory.
Memory and storage, because it's the same units.
Well, the way I explain it is this. The memory, the RAM, is like your desktop. The bigger your desktop, the more stuff you can put on it at once. The hard drive is like your filing cabinet. Mm-hmm. The bigger it is, the more stuff you can keep there. But in order to use it, you got to take it out of the filing cabinet and put it on your desk. And if your desk gets full, you got to take some stuff off the desk in order to put more stuff on. So,
and when the filing cabinet gets full, you throw away files or buy another filing cabinet.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's the difference between them.
Add more drawers, as I put it. You know,
right.
Whether it's a two-drawer, four-drawer, six.
Right. So that's how that works. You take it and you decide, are you talking about the desktop or the filing cabinet?
Mm-hmm.
And that tells you where your problem is.
That's a good analogy.
Yep. Thank you. Getting a bigger desk is not going to help you if your file cabinets are full.
That's what I've been telling folks for years. That's the same analogy I've used for years in trying to explain. Because like Nick says, daily, you know, we get folks come or I ask them, how much memory you got? You know, they'll say 320 gigabytes. No, that's your hard drive. And I try to explain to them
memory,
in just that
so
fashion.
They are answering the question. You know.
And because they're confused.
Right.
And
as Steve pointed out, it's easy to confuse because they're the same units.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They think of it as one box.
Sure.
I had a customer this week, a nice little old lady. She came in and wanted to know how to copy a CD. And that's what she asked. How do I copy a CD? And copying a CD is kind of a long, complicated process. So I tried to explain it. Could tell she wasn't understanding. Suggested she sign up for a training class. And she stormed out in a huff. Called back later. Turned out she didn't want to know how to copy a CD. She wanted to know how to copy files from a CD onto her computer.
Ah, two different things.
Drag them.
Right,
yeah.
Right, right.
So that's an easy question. Copying a CD is a hard question.
Right. Well, years ago, I had this guy come into the store. And just, I've never seen him before, ever in my entire life. And he said, I've been to five stores. Nobody can help. This back in the day when there were five stores downtown. Nobody can help me. They always try to sell me something I don't need, and I don't want you to do it, and blah, blah, blah. And he was a lot louder and a lot spicier in his language.
Explicit.
So he said, I said, what do you need? He said, I need a database. Okay, I said. What do you want to do with this? Apparently no one else had asked him that. What do you want to do with this database? He said, I need a word processor. So what do you want to do with this word processor? Well, I have a whole bunch of names and addresses, and I want to be able to keep track of them and print envelopes and search them for information and blah, 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 blah. I said, well, you know what? You don't want a word processor. You want a database. And he went, no, I don't. I said, look, let's take a look at a database. So DBase was the one in those days.
Oh, yeah.
And I showed it to him. He said, this is exactly what I'm looking for. Why wasn't anybody else bright enough to show? Well, I said, because you came in here saying you wanted a word processor. Well, I thought I wanted a word processor. I got to type all these in. Oh, okay,
yeah,
I get
true.
That.
Yeah.
I get that.
And you could do that in a word processor. It'd be
not
pain,
well,
but
yes,
you could.
Yes, and in those days it was word perfect, so it was not that easy to do stuff like this. But yeah, so I showed him DBase. I showed him how you could connect it into word perfect, and you know, we went through this whole thing. He left happier than a pig in mud, and from then on he was a loyal customer. Not because I had showed him something magnificent or marvelous that no one could possibly have shown him, but because I ignored what he asked me.
Yep.
and pried out of him what he actually wanted to
do.
That's,
like you say, that's why even myself, when folks say that they want a computer, I like to sit down and find out what the hell they're going to do with it.
And it's always, oh, I just want to type some letters and do some simple things and play some games and get on the internet. Well, you just
all
jump
at the same time.
You just jump from a $500 computer to a $1,000 computer.
Right. I don't want to do much. I just want to play some games. What kind of games? Well, there's this whole section on Yahoo.
Okay. Now we're into Java.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, I had one. I had do up a quote. And again, you know, wanted to do all this stuff and some gaming and everything else. And I quoted him a price and they come back and said, well, can't you do it for around $500 or $600? I go, given what you want to do, long answer is no.
Yeah. And then they'll go to, you know, they'll go to the unnamed box store and buy one for $2.99 and then bring it to you and complain that it won't play their game.
Yeah. Right. Yep. So
rebuild it from the ground up, you can keep the case.
Yeah. Well, maybe not because it's in one of those micro cases.
Now. Oh, right, right.
And I won't, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, folks, you know, I tell them, yeah, if you want something cheaper, go ahead, go elsewhere. Yep. But I won't compromise.
You might find cheaper, you're not going to find better.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm still one of the few around that still offers a 3-year warranty on parts. I mean, my system.
You got to give me your list of vendors because we can't find vendors with 3-year warranties either.
I've got 3-year warranty.
The Seagate hard drives are about the only ones left.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I mean, my folks, I had, matter of fact, one of my clients, his motherboard died. It was 2 years, 11 months, and 4 days old.
Wow.
I was able to get it replaced.
Nice.
Because he's going, oh, no, this thing is only a couple years old. I go, no, Ron, it's close to 3. You just made it under the wire. Get out. Didn't realize we had it this long.
Yeah.
And it's covered as the parts are. Yeah.
Well, you're running Windows 98. You know, yeah, that was 10 years ago.
He was running XP. Yeah, and
Going back to DBase a minute, I always love the story about DBase. When you launch DBase, there's this typical copy protection fraud. You won't do any of this mess. Click OK to accept the license and continue. I found out once accidentally, if you wait long enough, it continues anyway. I have never accepted the DBase license.
And a lot of good that does you now.
Yeah, really.
Scores.
Maybe that's why they went out of business.
It's my fault. I'm sorry.
Who knew?
VisiCalc. Remember VisiCalc?
Yep. Very well. I was an expert at it.
There, DanBricklin.com, you used to actually be able to download a free Windows version.
Wow.
Of VisiCalc, and it worked exactly like real. I mean, it was VisiCalc. Dan Bricklin's the guy who wrote it.
I used to run it on my Atari 800.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that I used, it was by Xerox, GemLab.
Oh, I loved GemLab.
GemLab had more things in it. You could do a database program. It had a great... organizational chart.
Yep.
For designing stuff in that. And I was doing so much stuff in GemLab. It was unbelievable. Art program, word processor, and everything else. Matter of fact, I think to this day, a hierarchy of this one operating system, it was called Sagittarius, that I worked on, how things flowed, the different menus and all, is still floating around to this day with my name on it out at Kodak. Because someone was called, brought it up one time. Whoa, that's still kicking around? Yeah, I saw your name on it. And
wow.
Holy crap.
I think we just had one of your old stories about the guy that left the computer in the bushes and called you a week later to see if it was done yet. Someone left a monitor and a printer outside of our old office that we moved away from 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was still there?
Well, I'm thinking there was supposed to be a computer there, too. It was a monitor and a printer. There's... usually a computer in that.
Yeah, usually
that,
there would
that
be a
Trinity
pile.
There. Yeah. and one of the tenants in the building where we used to be, you know, called us up because our name was on one of the boxes from when it had been shipped to us 10 years ago.
Yeah, right.
So if you dropped a computer outside of Jesse Group's old office, the empty office with no one in it,
it's gone.
It might be gone. And give us a call, 924-1920, and
we'll sell you another one.
At least let us know why you put it there. I'm assuming maybe for service, but there was no note, no nothing. Just a monitor in a
or
box
maybe
and a printer in a garbage bag.
Of it and figured, because a lot of folks don't know.
Well, you said you put it out in front of your house for the garbage, and it's gone in an hour.
Oh, my wife and I nowadays take bets, because we can put things out Sunday night, in front of my place, and we take bets. All right, how long do you think that's going to last?
Right.
And depending on the item, I mean, it can go within less than an hour. I mean, I've even had, during the summer, shrubs that I literally pulled out of the ground. I had this one couple pull up in an old Cadillac. She swung the door open, looked out. She didn't even get out of it. She leaned over because he pulled up so close, looked at the bushes, just literally whipped them behind her back, behind the back seat, both of them, closed the door, and off they drove.
They were bushes.
Like, with bushes.
Were they solid gold bushes?
No, they were only maybe 2 foot high.
Burning bushes?
We've seen that sometimes where a house is for sale and it's got these gorgeous, we looked at a couple when we were moving, these gorgeous bushes up in the front, and we decided, you know, didn't buy that house. But then driving by it later, the bushes are all gone. You know, the person who owned the house spent years meticulously growing and shaping and crafting these bushes.
Oh, don't even go there.
And the new owner comes in and rips them all out.
Don't even go there, because my house on Roby Drive.
Yeah.
All right. You remember that
happened to you?
That storm that we had in, what was it, a September? Remember I had the tree on my house and the news crews were there?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I had a Japanese maple.
Yeah.
And I went out because that got cracked. One of the limbs got cracked. So I went to the nursery, got the stuff that I wound up patching it and found out, wrapping it. And for the few years after that, you know, thing took off. I staked it. Thing got 12 foot tall. That tree at a normal height is like a, you know, $400 or $500 tree at 3 or 4 foot tall. The new owners took an axe to it.
Yeah.
I was ready to rip his face off. It's like, why didn't you call me? I mean, when we moved, we laid out diagrams where all the flowers were, when they'd come up, and everything else. We were, so they knew we cared.
Right.
He just took an axe to it. Oh, one other thing. Speaking of trees, did you see yesterday's paper?
No. Mark, in the morning. Saturday, for Amelia.
I saw it when I picked it up off the driveway tossed it up the stairs to the house.
Saturday morning's paper, right on the front page, was my daughter and my grandson. They took their pictures while they were out shopping for
nice.
A tree. I had to bring the picture in. Yeah, it was on the front cover of the DNC, because I come downstairs, my wife goes,
what'd she do now?
Sorry.
Our oldest.
I didn't usually put those in the front page, usually.
She goes, wait till you see our oldest and grandson were up to. I go, what? She goes, look on your desk. And I look, and she had the DNC up on the screen. And there's Missy and Cody going through this tree farm, picking out a Christmas tree. It was pretty proud.
Nice. Yeah, I had somebody steal my porch furniture.
Yeah, it happened to us.
Right off my porch.
Well, it was sitting out like he was throwing it away.
On the porch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I keep my garbage.
How low class, really, truly, how low class do you have to be to go steal something off of somebody's porch? I mean, cheese and crackers, these are people... You know, I try to be a Christian in my heart, but I hope each and every one of them dies in a fire painfully. I think it was...
Well, I have a problem.
That's Christian.
Yeah, right. Yeah, burn that mistake.
Nobody expects this message.
I'm sorry, I have a problem with anybody stealing anything, because it's not yours.
Yeah.
Well, you notice I'm biting my tongue because right? I lived a long time in the city, and I got stories, too, but they're just too painful.
Yeah, that's just, that's,
I mean,
that
yeah,
sucks.
But what goes through the mind that they think that they're entitled to it?
Yeah.
They're I them, mean, that's why.
Like you say, let them burn at the stake. I have no sympathy.
Right.
On that note, should we?
Oh, let's move on to the MacBook Air.
Oh, really?
Yes, let's move on to the MacBook Air. Some MacBook Air users have been reporting the appearance of gray horizontal lines across the screen of their late 2008 models. Discussion threads on the issue began in early November on both Apple's discussion forums and the Mac Rumors forums. There have been slight variations in the description of the issue, but most accounts agree the lines are gray or white, horizontal or slightly angled, granulated or pixelated in appearance, and are very subtle. Subtle. Overall, the lines are said to give the screen the appearance of a piece of parchment or recycled paper. Also, the lines are said to appear at initial boot. They do not develop over time. All users experiencing the problem say that while the lines are very subtle, they are definitely noticeable and result in a disappointing display, particularly for a premium laptop. And I think premium laptop is about the least you can say about the MacBook Air. While Apple has issued no official statement, forum contributors have received a variety of responses from Apple Care, Genius Bars, and even Apple engineers responding on behalf of Steve Jobs. There's general agreement that Apple employees have acknowledged that there is a problem. They've been receiving numerous reports on the issue, and they're looking into the issue. Only one user said he received word from Apple saying his MacBook Air was showing expected behavior. We expect it to look like crap. Several other users said I wouldn't think you'd hear that from an Apple person. Several other users said they heard from Apple engineers indicating that an approaching firmware update would resolve the issue. However, there is no confirmation that this is the case, and no official firmware update has been released. The issue appears to be fairly widespread, with the Mac Rumors discussion thread receiving over 28,000 views and well over 500 replies. Those are pretty high numbers for an issue only a month old. Theories about the lines are scant, but the main ones attribute them to the new anti-glare coating or the new NVIDIA graphics chips. Many users seem suspicious, though hopeful, that a firmware update will resolve the problem, not if it's the anti-glare coating. While there's been no discussion of similar problems with other 2008 laptop screens, both the MacBook and the MacBook Pro share much of the same display technology. However, I can only imagine that users who would already be discussing that problem if those were suffering from the thing too. Given Apple's attention to aesthetic detail and the large market for Macs within the art and design communities, any display issue is a serious problem in need of attention.
And since
over to you, Steve.
And since they're under warranty, take them in and get them fixed.
That's exactly right. I mean, if you noticed it right away and it's there, take it back.
Well, so many folks though don't. They think, oh well, if I try this and try that, sometimes they make things worse.
Well, it's also very hard to look at something that you just paid what, $3,000 for, and say, you know what, it's not right.
Yeah, but it happens.
You think to yourself, well, this will fix itself. This will smooth itself out. It's just, it's new. It's cold. It's whatever.
Especially if they've spent a lot of time mentally justifying the expense to themselves.
Yeah. Right.
Or
you just,
someone
right,
else,
you
even
just spend,
worse yet.
Right. You spend 6 months convincing your wife you need a $3,000 laptop.
Yeah.
Then you open it up and it looks like crap. Well, you're going to not say a lot right there. Yeah.
No, it's only $1,800, but that's beside the point. The other thing they can try, too, is a different desktop pattern. Because there are, if you take a loop and even look close enough at any monitor, you're going to see the lines that make up the lines.
Well, but I believe but what they're saying is
they're
even
more
if you
visible.
Like open up an application.
Yeah, I've got a picture of it on my screen.
Yep.
They're more visible than they should be. Sometimes a different desktop pattern will fix that. But yeah, if it's not performing the way it should, take it back, get it fixed.
That's
and
right.
You know, if the thing just stopped working, you know, you do something simple like change a fuse. But this is the kind of problem that takes some investigation. It mm-hmm. takes some detective work
to figure out
what the problem is before Apple comes up with any solution even suggestion of one.
The new NVIDIA chip, this is the first computer they've ever used it in.
Right. And you really don't, well, but it depends, right? I mean, it's two separate chips.
Not on the Air. The Air is only the one.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's on the Air. But the other thing is you bought this brand new machine. You don't want to just send it. You open it up. Now let's send it back for a month.
Yeah.
You know, so I understand wanting to try everything else first, but it's, you know, it's like you buy a new car. If you buy a new car, you pull it out of the lot and there's a crack in the windshield, what's the first thing you do?
You turn around,
you take it back in, you say, there's a crack in my windshield. What the hell?
It happened off our lot, not our fault.
Yeah. Well, let's say, yeah, right. If you don't get it off the lot, right.
Yeah. Actually, I knew someone that did that while they were in the dealership signing the final papers, and the people brought the car around front for them to walk out and pick up. Someone driving into the lot wrecked it, crashed into their new car they hadn't taken possession of yet, but had signed all the paperwork. Yeah, we'll take care of that for you.
Yeah, they will take care of that. See, I wouldn't even want that car anymore because now the frame is bent and everything
and
else.
I know a couple of people that happened to. They were on their way home from the dealer with their new car, got into an accident and totaled the car. And then they couldn't afford to buy another one because they weren't first-time buyer discounts anymore.
Right.
Yep.
And it's only worth half of what you paid for it because you drove it off the lot.
And you still owe the full amount of you paid for it plus interest.
Right.
That's why they don't let you buy a car until you have insurance.
He's just full of happiness today.
Yeah, he's a happy guy today.
Oh, I could tell you, sir, one of my clients runs a garage.
Mm-hmm.
He had a client come in to get repairs on his vehicle. All right, so, left. They put the car up on the lift.
It fell off?
Fell off.
Ouch.
No.
Not on anybody, I hope.
No. Luckily, the mechanic was able to. All right, so they got it fixed, you know, and everything else, you know, and like I say, everything, nobody was hurting, thank God, and everything else. Year and a half later, guy comes in again, get his car fixed.
Oh, no.
No.
Puts it up on a different lift. Car falls off again.
No way.
Well, that's got to be a design problem with the car or the lift.
I'd find another.
No, it was a different lift.
I'd find another mechanic, frankly. Was it the same mechanic?
No, a different mechanic, too. So it's like, how do we call him and tell him, you brought your car in again. It's been a year and a half. You come back in finally, and the same thing happens.
Years ago, I was coming home from a party late at night, and I pull up to this corner. I look one way, there's nothing. I look the other way, there's nothing but a car with its hood up. So I ease forward a little bit.
Because obviously it's pulled over.
To make the turn, and the car with its hood up hit me. Apparently, this guy and his brother had been drinking all night and started driving home because another guy saw them and followed them. They played pinball all the way home, bouncing off of cars on either side of the street.
Oh.
They were both so drunk. At one point, they actually sprung the hood and kept on driving. And
because you could see through the little crack there at the bottom.
Exactly what he said.
Oh, geez.
And then they front-ended me. And the cops came, and the two guys are sitting in the car explaining this to the officer, drunk on their butts, both of them, and explaining what had happened. And the guy who had followed them said, you know, I followed them. I didn't know what else to do. This is before cell phones. So luckily it happened. It literally happened right outside his house. So he pulled over and went and called the police. So they showed up right away. And the insurance company, my car apparently was damaged $18 short of totaled.
Oh, no.
$18 short of totaled.
I would have gone
around. Are you sure you didn't see this scratch on this other side here, Mr. Inspector?
Take a baseball. Yeah. No, you just take a baseball bat and break an extra lighthouse.
Well, that's the last insurance payment those people ever got out of me. $18.
Yeah, right.
Total.
Yeah, right.
I just, you know, I had been a loyal customer, and I would have been a loyal customer for life. $18. It wasn't worth $18 to them to keep me as a customer. Okay. Bye bye.
Really? Yeah.
Free
market at work.
Yeah, exactly right.
I had a guy run a red light and sideswipe me in my van. Took out front quarter panel, driver door, middle door, rear quarter panel. So the whole side of the car. Car was totaled. I had a new insurance company. I hadn't even made my first payment yet.
Wow.
Just signed up for the new insurance.
Wow.
Hi, welcome to my insurance company. I just totaled my car. That's all I could do was just grin and snicker like a fool while we were waiting for the cops. I haven't even made my first insurance payment yet.
But they accepted you as a client.
They accepted me and I'm still with them.
Yeah. There you go.
Now, see, now I have to be because they want to get their $10,000 back.
Yeah, right.
Ouch. Actually, I did get a letter from them like a couple months ago. They've still been chasing down the guy that hit me to get my $500 deductible back.
Wow.
And they said, we've been trying for a couple of years. We can't find him, so we're going to give up. Sorry.
So you're out the $500.
I'm out the $500, yeah.
Right. That's funny, though. That's funny.
All right, well, let's do another one from the mailbag here. Steve from Fairport. Service Pack 3 upgrade for XP. He's got two questions here. Question one, my computer, Lenovo ThinkPad laptop, has difficulty accepting Service Pack 3. The blue screen comes up telling me the world is coming to an end, and we know it. How can I install it so everything is happy about it? That's question one. Question two. Every time I search for a wireless connection, I have to open the wireless connection properties window, then hit the wireless connection window, and then click the use windows to configure my wireless connection in order to get it to connect. I have another laptop running XP, and I've never had to check that box. Why does mine reset itself, and how can I get around it? Thanks in advance for your help.
Well, those both sound like the same problem to me. They sound like there's a corruption in the registry.
Yep.
The registry is not... The registry, of course, Microsoft, in their infinite wisdom, took every single conceivable configuration, stuck it in one file, never told us what this file is supposed to look like, and there are no tools for it. That's the registry. if the registry has been corrupted in some way, it is very likely that it is not any longer accepting updates for that entry. And similarly, can install Service Pack 2 because the registry is corrupted. Two, three, four, I don't care. Pick a number. Still can't install it. So the question now becomes...
left elbow.
What?
You forgot left elbow.
Left elbow. J34 left elbow / tomorrow. The question becomes, how do you fix a corrupted registry?
Reinstall Windows over Windows
exactly.
is about the only, thing,
the only thing you can do.
Might correct some of the issues.
But it's not a guarantee.
No. No, 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 no. Matter of fact, it might come down to that if it's causing him that many issues and that many headaches, not two, in that he can't get into update the service pack and having all these network connections, might be just time to say, heck with it, wipe it, reinstall the operating system fresh, put Service Pack 3 right then and there on before he does anything else.
Yeah, a lot
and
of times,
obviously before you do any of that, back up all of your documents.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, installing Windows over Windows might work. If it doesn't, you're probably going to end up wiping and reinstalling anyway. So some people just skip the middleman and wipe and reinstall.
Right, but remember to back up
your documents
probably twice to make sure you've got a good copy of each. And then just reinstall. It'll take it back to day one. And that's the that's the best you can do right about now. That's one of the things I most hate about the registry. Under Linux and under the Mac, the Mac has the preferences folder, but all of the preferences...
Each program has its own individual
its own
preference
set of preferences.
File, yeah.
So, and the same in Linux, all of the configuration files are separate so that if you damage something or there's a problem with one of the configuration files... It in no way touches any of the other stuff. So it is much easier to add and remove things, and it is much better if something does become corrupted, nothing else corrupts. So, yeah, I got to be honest, I'm not a huge fan of... I'm just not a huge fan of the registry. The whole concept is stupid.
Oh, it can get difficult, and like you say, that's why I refused... try to walk somebody into removing something out of the registry because there's just too much liability there that you could wind up screwing up the whole machine just because someone, oops, I didn't mean to delete that one. How do I get it back? I wouldn't want to be responsible for that. And then all of a sudden their machine doesn't work at all. And it's an office machine and they got to get work done and everything else.
Yep.
No, like you say, it is a complex array there of things that could go wrong.
Yep.
Just one slight keystroke.
Right. And I always tell people, if I'm doing the radio or the television or whatever it is, and people see, and it is the only way you can fix it is with the registry. I always say, I do not recommend this. Take it to somebody else. But if you're going to do it yourself, here's a link. Don't call me. I don't recommend this.
Yep.
If you want to shoot yourself in your foot, you know where the gun is, you know where your foot is, but don't call me because I'm not recommending it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dangerous. And, like you say, I can't stress enough that all it takes is one miskey because, if you haven't played around with it, or I shouldn't even say play, if you don't have experience, and that's the key thing, experience working in the registry, stay the hell out. It's plain and simple.
One school of thought is that it's not that the registry is inherently bad or evil. It's the fact that we don't have any documentation on it.
Well, I think it is inherently bad and evil to put all your eggs in one basket.
If one little thing gets screwed up somewhere, the whole file is lost.
But if we had open documentation on it, there would be some class of people outside of Microsoft that could help.
Somewhat.
It would mitigate it at least a little bit, but I still would never recommend it.
Mm-mm. No, because like I say, it's so easy. And that's where, again, I can't recommend enough that program Revo. Revo, I am now putting on any of the new machines that I set up for folks because it does such a fantastic job of doing things. So, get it on and use that to remove programs. Don't use Windows uninstall. Or the add remove programs, because that doesn't work as well as this Revo. Revo does a fantastic job in that it keeps the registry slim and trim. It will help.
If you put it on a fresh, clean machine.
Yeah. or even from where you are and do use that thoroughly to get rid of things.
Right.
So
I've tried to monkey with the registry, and that's why I now use Mac OS X and Linux.
That's right. I love my Linux, and I love the Mac, and I tolerate Windows. I mean, it's mostly the registry. It scares me. All right, I think we're pretty much done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich. I'm Nick Francesco. You have been listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Right now, we're only on the web, but come, January-ish?
Yep.
We will be back live in glorious techno sound, because it's not color or whatever it is. All right. I think I'm way past my time. We're done for another week. Thanks so very much. We'll see you all on the next go-round and soon back on the air.